This is America's day. This is democracy's day. A day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. Through a crucible for the ages, America has been tested anew. America has risen to the challenge. And welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Yes, folks, we are broadcasting on Inauguration Day, a very great day for America. But I figure since some of you don't watch sports, some of you may not watch politics either. So I've got the screen up there where I can see anything that's happening. But I'm joined right now by my good friend, Jason Miller. And it looks like somebody else has popped in backstage, but we'll get them on in just a bit. So, Podnuts Pro, folks, your podcast for IT business support. We are here to help make your business better, smarter, and faster. And here we are, midway through the first month of the year. Jason, how are things going for you?
Been totally crazy. So can't
totally
complain.
Crazy. Oh, my goodness. So, let's see, you were not on any of the time. So, how did last year end up? And how did this year start out for you?
Actually had a really good last year. We're made more money last year than we did the year before. Can't complain about that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're down in the few months there with the COVID when it first hit, but projects and some other work kind of pulled that through. So can't complain. And then this year's starting strong, tons of projects. It seems like everybody come back from Christmas break and let's do this. Let's sign off on these projects. Let's get this going. It seems like new year. I don't know if it's new budget or what's going on, but they're ready to do it. So
interesting. So my year ended up really good. I actually had a nice $30,000 bump in the last month. Had a customer that decided to pay for some stuff early. So I've got a bunch of machines sitting out in the lobby there, done and ready to be delivered, but they probably won't be delivered until February now because they have another project that they're pushing ahead of that. We are installing brand new phone system.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've got to coordinate the computer deliveries with the phone setups, and they're actually redoing the bandwidth at each location because it was an MPLS with on-prem phone servers. Now it's hosted, and they're redoing the bandwidth, and this is all fiber, Ethernet. So they're ripping out old routers, putting in new routers. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, more stability for VoIP, right?
I believe we shall see.
We'll see.
Yeah. So let me do this. So we've had a friend join the chat. The backstage. Let me get him in here. I hope he's ready. Looks like he's not going to show his face tonight. Mr. Stan, how are you, sir?
What's going on? You hear me loud and clear?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, you got me on the humbug, so I'm out here picking up. You know, I don't know if I could show you my face. I look like a hot mess right now. I got my COVID beard and everything, you know. How's everybody? Jason, how you doing today, sir?
Yeah, pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Awesome. So,
All right, Uncle Marv, I'm going to let you moderate because, you know, I start taking over like it's my show.
Well, I was going to ask you, you heard us talk about how things ended up for last year and started out for us this year. What about you?
I got no complaints. I had the highest year ever in my entire life.
Nice.
So I can say I had a lot of Christmas gifts happen in 1 year. So, all was well. Luckily, no clients shut down. In fact, you know, some things actually picked up for some of them. And I'll tell you this, the accountants, out of all people, seemed to have done really well because they were helping everybody out with their PPP loans and everything else, right? So, you know, aside from regular tax return, those guys were working all year when they're normally working, you know, seasonal, you know, for the most part.
And they're probably still going to have to do more because tax laws, not only did they change because of the PPE, they're probably going to change now because of the new year, because people that didn't do stuff last year thinking that they would get you know, grace for some of the loans, may not get the grace, or some will. So I'm sure there's going to be some rewriting of laws happening this year. So they're going to have a pretty nice year, I think.
Well, and there's another round of PPP, right? Yep. So so round two. Unfortunately, I can't show a 25% loss in any quarter, so I can't participate in that. You know, I guess that's a good problem to have. Leave it for the people that need it, you know, so it's okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get started here, let me do a couple of recaps. The first thing I want to do, and I was going to wait until Mr. Rainey came back, but I'm not. But last week, for those of you that have already listened to the podcast or have watched the podcast, there was a little juvenile moment in that show where we were talking about the law firm of Bob Jones Smith or something to that effect, and talking about domains being BJS.com. And of course, you know, the juvenile kids and the BJs. Well, it turns out, folks, BJS is a real domain, and it is the BJ's Wholesale Warehouse website. So just to let everybody know, I was not making a juvenile prank by saying that. BJS is a real live website. And if you go there now, you can treat yourself to savings this new year, get game day ready, spoil your sweethearts, and save thousands. So BJS.com. No, they're not a sponsor, but I wish they were. And speaking of sponsor, I do want to say thank you to some people that went into, and I don't know if you went to podnutspro.com or if you went to the Amazon link in the show notes, but we had some people make some perfect purchases on Amazon. I want to say thank you to that. All of that is going to help out the show. I encourage you to keep doing so. Spread the word, share the site. And I did want to ask one question. Somebody made a purchase of a camera, a Micro 7 5 megapixel or 5 MP Ultra HD Wi-Fi two-way audio built-in amplified mic and speaker Alexa camera. I'm looking at doing some new cameras. I've been using the Blink cameras at the house. I have a Microsoft webcam here at the office. I have some Blinks that I was going to do. They do the two-way audio, but I wanted to ask whoever made that purchase, if you are listening to the show and can reach out to me, I have some questions about that to see if you've actually used it or you're just getting it on the recommendation of a friend. I have questions, so reach out to me. Speaking of cameras, I have a story later, but Jason, Stan, have either of you heard of that camera?
I have not.
Not at all, man. Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. But it looks interesting. It's not that expensive. It's $89 for the one that they were getting. It's got a 128 gig slot for something. I don't know if that's where you throw an SD card in for recording or something. So that was why I asked about the recording. Jason, I think you've got a pretty big place. You probably have camera system there, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Can you, or would you be willing to divulge who you use?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we also do cameras for customers. So, anybody needs security cameras for our customers, we do that. And then we do streaming cameras, setups for like churches and stuff. But in our shop, office, we have 12, Ubiquiti G3 domes, for our shop. And we have a Ubiquiti MBR rack mount. So for recording all that, and of course you can access it from your phone. You know, on the web browser or whatever. In our help desk area, we have a TV up, you know, so they can see the front lobby and stuff like that in case our administrator or admin goes out to the lunch or something like that, then kind of keep an eye on in case somebody rings the bell to get in. Then we have cameras in my wife's office. You know, she has to keep an eye on everybody. So crack the whip. You know, she's the real boss. But, yeah, so those are really good. And then our other brand that we use mainly for customers, professional installation security cameras, is LTS Security. Same exact thing as Hikvision. They're just different labeled. We're a reseller of their stuff. So really good products too. So,
all right. I had also purchased last year for a client that is doing a flexible desk space. Mm-hmm. I went through Snap AV and purchased their Luma system. And it's just basically the PTZ dome cameras, and the DVR is okay. I mean, you know, it's not bad. It's not good. Or I shouldn't say it's not great, but it was all right. I don't know if I'd purchase it again. So I'm going to be looking at that. Yeah. Stan, you do any cameras?
Nope. Cameras is, or AV work, any of that is not my specialty. I like to know what I can do and what I can't do. So I do actually have a local partner that we do work whenever people need that. These folks are actually pretty good because, their main business is access control, fire alarms, all that. So, in most of the places in this area anyway, you see their sticker because most, businesses have to get, what is it, once or twice a year, right? Have to get your fire alarms inspected. Yep. So they do that and certify. They got their whole own, centralized system. So, and then they also do a lot of that, surveillance and access control. So whenever we need that, we got no problem pushing people their way. So, keep with the core competencies that we have, you know?
All right. Yeah. As we talk about cameras and camera guys and copy guys, about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I had a customer that allowed their camera guy to come in and do some work. And he ended up turning on DHCP inside of his DVR because their cameras are on the same VLAN as the customers, because their DVR will not tag VLAN traffic, even though he said it could, and he said he understood networking, and he was a networking guy just like me. So I had to go in and turn it off and tell him to leave it off. Well, he showed up again last Friday, and they didn't tell me, and all of a sudden stuff stopped working, and I had to go in and figure it out, and of course, DHCP was turned on in his DVR again. So I'm thinking of coming up with some sort of agreement to tell them, look, I mean, they already know that if they have to call me out to do a repair, it's going to cost. They are on a managed agreement. But if I have to show up, I'm billing him. And I'm thinking of having some sort of contract saying, you will not allow anybody in here to touch, or I will double bill you. Do either of you guys have any of those stupid clauses in contracts or anything?
So you guys know, well, Jason doesn't know, but he's going to find out. There's nothing more than I love than a good contract. So with that said, it's funny because I actually had my agreement up. And I do have a line in regards to this, as well as, people sharing passwords, right? I mean, I'm going to just meld these two together. First off, you know, clients own the equipment, right? You know, you don't want to take their passwords away from them, feel like you're holding it hostage. So there's no issue in having the client have that stuff. But the minute that client hands said things over to third party or allows third party to touch, that's where everything becomes billable from that moment forward. So it's not only about the work in repairing or remediating what that person might do, but it's also any and all regular support that would normally be covered under the agreement becomes billable until that issue becomes rectified. So that's the first thing that I have in the agreement. And then the second thing is I do have an exclusion category, Appendix E, right? Exclusions, which is support for the following systems or entities is explicitly excluded from coverage under this agreement. Any service requests and provided services requested and provided by the client that involves any of the following shall be provided on an hourly billing basis as incurred. And of course, the first thing I put in there is any equipment provided by third parties. And that encompasses what you're saying, the copy guy, the maybe the phone system vendor, the surveillance guy, anybody who's not you, who's bringing in a piece of equipment. So to your point, I want to just share a story. I just had a client, we bid it on the phone system project. It made sense for them to stay with their existing provider, but go to their hosted solution. Okay. Because whatever their hosted solution can't do, these folks are willing to leave the current in-house solution to do those things, right? We wouldn't have that capability. So, this thing, was talked about 2 months ago. I did a whole big networking upgrade, all new switches, all new firewalls, new everything. We took the opportunity to do a whole network upgrade, segregate things by VLAN, auto VoIP, and all the good stuff. To your point, I get a call from the phone guy. What's going on here? Are you guys providing DHCP? I said, yes, we are. Well, our algo isn't coming up on the network. I said, okay, so let's kind of figure out what's going on. Well, point is, all the Polycom phones came up and got to the VLAN, no problem, and he was having an issue with his algo, which ended up being it couldn't auto-tag, so we just tagged that VLAN. But the point was, he wanted us to give his firewall that he was going to put in another firewall to handle the voice stuff. And I said, listen, man, we just spent $15,000 on networking upgrade. I hate to say this to you, but we don't need your firewall, right? So, and we don't want to have another point of failure. So we're going to have everything running through our stuff. But this was a whole thing of, we're having this conversation on site at their pre-install when it's something that should have been discussed 2-3 weeks ago. And I let the client know that, listen, this is not a failure on your part. It's a failure on their part because they do this all day, every day. And they know that they should ask the question, do you have somebody? And they knew we were doing this networking upgrade. And obviously should have talked to us on how it's going to play with what they're doing. But I say all that and give you these stories, which are timed perfectly for what you're saying, to say all that time was billable. Okay, that was above and beyond. I'm going to stop hogging the mic here and let Jason share a story or two.
Yeah, we experienced the same thing just last week with a customer. Of course, customers never let you know when something's happening. I get a phone call 4:30 in the afternoon. We close at 5. Hey, I'm the point of sale guy for this new customer that has two locations, and I just need your admin password to your Sonic wall. No. what do you mean, though? No. We'll make any changes you need. What do you need? Oh, I need, you know, these 5 ports open. No. What do you mean, no? They take credit cards. They're going to fail PCI compliance. I don't want to have to explain in the PCI compliance, you know, scan every month that these ports are open because, you know, the point of sale guy decided that you want to open them. And they have a VPN between both their locations. Let's just set up a VPN to the server. And he's like, well, I install these all over the country, and I never have anybody tell me no about this. I just I do this for all of them, and I just open the ports, and it just works. And you know, it's always worked. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm sitting there thinking in my head, there's everything wrong with that. So everybody all over the country that you've done this for, you're doing it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Well, they have a web connector where I don't have to open ports. I could use that. I said, well, we have a VPN. Let's just use that. And told him how to connect to the server, you know, the point of sale server through the VPN. Which is nothing. You know, he's like, well, I tried pinging the IP address. I couldn't ping it. Well, that's because ping is disabled. So anyways, long story short, you know, it's like 4:35 o'clock. He's trying to install this stuff in the evening, and, you know, they just demand that I need this information. And it's like, I don't even know who you are. I mean, I need to talk to the owner if I was going to give a password, but yeah, we do bill for, you know, anything that they do, they mess it up. I have a clause, of course, you know, Marvin knows how I had to do my agreement. So, you know, there's clauses in there. It basically says if you touch it and mess it up, we bill for it. But we're kind of a little bit of the opposite. We don't give clients passwords because we've had issues in the past where they have the passwords, and then they give them to the web guy and the point of sale guy and this guy and the copier guy, and then everybody has the passwords. And it's like, well, we're security for a focused company, and I can't maintain security if I don't maintain the passwords, especially administrator passwords and stuff. And at a law firm the other day, that the owner of the company, which is not very computer savvy, wanted his Office 365 admin password to do his integration with Clio, and try talking him out of it. He said no. And I said, well, I'll make your user account, you know, an admin, give him the basic privileges, not full global admin, and said, you know, there you go. If you mess it up and call us, we have to bill you to fix it. So we do bill to fix it if you mess it up. Explained, you know, the whole, can't maintain security, can't maintain change control, cannot maintain what happens in that Office 365 tenant. You can cause yourself a breach. So there's always a lot of that type of stuff to beat up customers with.
Yeah, I mean, and I went through the fact that we've got all those clauses as well in terms of, you know, liability limitations, mm-hmm. third-party services, and all that stuff. But for some reason, they just don't seem to remember that. And so I basically had to say, look, if somebody wants to come in and do anything with computers, phones, cameras. And I got to the point I said, if it plugs into the wall, mm-hmm. you need to call me.
Exactly.
She's like, that's a good policy.
We just had a local town government agency. They call us up and it's like, hey, our copiers are replaced. What do you mean they're replaced? Oh, they came yesterday and replaced them. We need you to set them up. The guy copy the address book? No. Well, we can't scan the folder. None of our names are in there. Well, why didn't he copy the address book over? That's his job. So then it's kind of like, do you bill for that or do you not? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like you have to do all this extra work because that guy didn't do the work. You know, so what do you do in that case, Marv?
I bill.
You bill?
Yeah.
It's new. It's a new install.
Yeah.
Anything new, right? So that piece of equipment wasn't there as of the date prior, right? Yeah. So my thing is anything new. Yeah.
Add, change, remove.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if it's not our stuff. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, and let's not forget, right? With the copy guys, right? I mean, and the copy guys have figured this out long before we did as MSPs, way before the phone people did, right? They are literally charging clients monthly, which also usually includes maintenance and equipment, right? And toner, right? So don't forget. So if something's wrong, guess what? Make them come back out, right? If there's a streak on the paper, make them come back out. So if somebody was lazy and they just wanted to drop it off, you know, now I'll tell you this. I've gotten into situations where I've told the copy guy, bring over your basic stuff, copy it over. I'll handle, you know, let's say putting in the server password, or I'll handle setting up the computers, you know, pushing out a GPO. And they always like, oh, like, thank you, you know, but I want to make that decision, not you make it for me, you know, so that's kind of been how I've dealt with that. Jason, I just want to circle back on something. Even though I said that the client owns the passwords, I don't necessarily just hand them out, right? I do the same thing you did with the whole, well, why do you need it? Why do you want it? But that's fine. I'm not going to press too much. It's yours, so I'll give it to you. Yeah, but I don't just, you know, hand them the keys. I know Marvin has a breaking in case of emergency folder.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure they even forget that they have that at times, depending on when you handed it over to them.
Yeah, some of them I have to remind them every now and then. But basically, I have a folder that's on the server. They have one magic password that's, you know, not in use, that they have a special login, that if something ever happens, because they always ask that question, what if you get hit by a bus? And I'm like, well, I have people that you can, well, what if we can't get a hold of them? Or what if we have an emergency? So here's your magic password. Log into the server. There's a special folder, and it's actually entitled In Case of Emergency. And all of their critical stuff is in there. Now, it usually is, now that we've got IT glue, so it's usually a zip folder with password protection and all of that, but all their stuff is there, so that way they can feel safe that if anything happens, they can do that. Now, the flip side to that is, if they use that just as a matter of convenience and it's not an actual emergency, I'm going to bill them a lot of money because now I got to go change all those passwords, and that's how we do it.
You ever had anybody violate that?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Because they always forget.
Yeah. And we have IT glue too, but, you know, we don't put their passwords anywhere. I mean, I get hit by a bus, one of our techs can get that to them. Yeah. So.
Well, that's because you're bigger, Jason. You got the two small guys on the phone, so we got to answer those questions, right?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, I used to have the same questions too. I mean, it used to just be me for, you know, 6-7 years in the beginning, but it seemed like everybody was all right with it. I never give them their passwords then either.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Well, what's interesting about it to me is, so I just had a client that we just, moved the environment to Azure and the whole setup. And they've been a client for 10 years. And she goes, you know, you have all the logins. Like, what are we going to do if something happens to you? I said, the same thing you were going to do a year ago and the year before that and the year before that, because nothing has changed, right? In that respect, I said, I have no problem, you know, like doing the Marv thing and giving you all your stuff. And like I said, I'm not holding any of it hostage. But at the end of the day, I tell them all the time, feel free to do what you want. But just so you, just in case you're wondering, you're not going to know what you're looking at, right? So enjoy yourself.
But, well, and one of the things we do too, and we just had to do this for a law firm, is one of our bigger competitors in our area, they had a self-hosted in their own data center, you know, basically VM server, and they had a, you know, VPN back to their data center, and they refused to give the administrator password to that server that was dedicated to this one customer. And they said, well, if we give you that, you can get the license key off the server, and that violates Microsoft's terms and agreements. I said, well, I can log in that server with any user and get the, you know, get the license key from the server. That's not hard. I mean, come on. I almost thought about doing it, just emailing it to him, say, here's your license key. Now give me the admin password. But one of my server guy was very adamant about doing it. And I was like, nah. I was like, we won't do it. But anyways, I mean, they would not give it to us. So we had to basically do a manual migration to another cloud hosted server. I mean, it's a pain in the butt, and redo all their machines to new domain. But I mean, if you got hit by a bus, I mean, any IT guy should be able to walk in and fix that. It's not fun, but I mean, you know, it's not like the end of the world, I guess you'd say. So
Jason, I got a question in that scenario. Was that, so they were paying these folks for essentially rented cola?
Yeah, they have they
call it type thing.
They call it their Sky package. So they include email, they include a virtual server. So they actually had two servers, an app server and a DC. And then they, so we had no access to the DC whatsoever. But we had access to the app server, and it was a pain in the butt to get, you know, SQL databases and stuff like that done right. But my server guy was able to get it. So either way, it was a pain, but, you know, we're able to get it and going and stuff like that. But, I don't know. It's just part of their offerings. It's literally VMware hosted VM in their data center. So. But they refuse to give the password. So.
Yeah. Sorry for the break I'm going to do right here. But Stan, because you came on, I think somebody wanted to come and try to upstage you. So we have a new friend joining us backstage. I'm going to bring him forward here.
Why are we doing this to Jason? Jason doesn't know what he got into.
And here's the thing, you know, like 10 minutes before the show, I'm like, I don't have a guest. I don't have anybody in the gallery. What's going on? So here we are. Yes. Mr. Chadwick, how are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you. I am doing well.
How's the great white north?
It's white. We've got snow. It's kind of cold for you guys, probably. For you, Marvin, you'd probably die. You'd take two steps off the plane and like, that'd be the end of you. Just like I melt in the summer, you know, you freeze in the winter, but no, it's nice. It's nice. I even wore my meat stand shirt. I hope everyone can see my, my meat stand shirt. I don't know how well it's coming through on the camera, but this is the pinnacle. You have the pinnacle of one man operations on the show here. That's what you have. Who is too good for video, apparently, but probably sitting there in a smoking jacket with a $500 cigar, you know, feet up on the table, you know, counting stacks of cash.
He's probably in the balcony. He's probably in the balcony in his sauna.
Yeah.
This is what you guys see in the stacks of money. He's got a little green visor on. He's got a money machine. You hear it, right? But, yeah. Those are all hundreds.
That's why he's got to mute himself so much.
What you guys need to click them down, you know?
He's a humble gentleman, you know? He really is. That's why I gotta wrap him here a little with the shirt.
All right. So, Chad, glad you were able to come on. I'm going to hijack the conversation here because one of the topics that I listed tonight is I need a printer.
Okay.
I have been an HP printer guy for years. Mm-hmm. I kind of still am, but I'm kind of a little peeved at them at the way that they ripped away their partner program, and you can't even sell freaking toner unless you're willing to sell 15 grand a month or whatever that stupid number is. So I've been kind of looking for some new printers, but the first one I'm going to do is for my office here. So we had a customer that did a complete network refresh last December, and trying to describe how it is. So we got everything. We got all their old computers. We got their old printers, copiers. But I could take care of all of the stuff except for one copier. They have a big Xerox copier that's still under lease.
Okay.
And so we were just supposed to hold it for a month.
Okay.
And then it turned into 2 months and then 3 months. And then they said, you know what, why don't you just go ahead and use it, and then you don't have to worry about it. We'll pay for the toner and all that stuff. Well, they had corporate key card access programs, so we couldn't actually get into it. Oh, well, we'll call the, you know, the copier guy, and he'll come out and take care of it for you. 6 months, 8 months. So finally, in December, I billed them for having that copier here in my space.
Reasonable.
And they paid.
Okay.
So now I got some money. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy us, because the wife always wants a big, nice color printer copier.
And I don't want A3, or is A4 big enough?
So I don't know A3 and A4. So I was looking at...
A3 is your 11 by 17s. A4 is going to be your legal letter.
Okay, but that's Lexmark, right?
Any brand. A3, those are like sizes. Like,
okay.
If you buy A3 printers, are always going to be like...
Okay, because I knew you were a Lexmark guy, and I was looking at the Xerox VersaLink series.
Yep, we actually switched from Lexmark as our – so we were a platinum Lexmark dealer, and now we are almost a gold Xerox dealer. We will be this year. We just missed the clip last year because we were still servicing all the old Lexmarks, so we were in like a limbo thing where customers that had 10 Lexmarks, they don't want a Xerox. They want a new Lexmark, and, you know, anyway – So Xerox, I have a couple reasons why we transitioned. Some won't matter to you, some might. One of the things I like is that Xerox treats consumables and like supplies and the printers towards your partner program. With Lexmark, all they care about is you just pushing more hardware. And my whole thing has been, if we're selling quality hardware, then my churn's not going to be as high on hardware. It's, you know, we're going to get new clients, we're going to refresh existing ones. But unless you're trying to be a VAR like a CDW and you're trying to hawk printers every month, you're mostly going to sell consumables, and those numbers are going to be big. Like, I don't mean just the toner, but, you know, the imaging kits, the roller kits, like all that stuff. So Xerox has a big Canadian presence. I mean, you guys all know I'm Canadian. For anyone watching that doesn't know, I'm the only Canadian here, I think. The Xerox has a major, office in New Brunswick, which is out east, which is a big thing for us. And then we have a local rep. So if we're doing a big enterprise customer and they want to do like a touchy feely thing, not in the last year, obviously, but normally if they want to shake hands and that kind of thing, I got basically a on-site rep that'll come with me to go close a deal if that's a thing. So anyway, the partner programs, there's a couple things that are, you know, maybe not as good, like but overall, I think it's a better relationship. So that said, yes, I was told by someone at Xerox who used to work for Lexmark that the A3 units, and that is like the 900 series Lexmark, for example, that it's made by Xerox.
Oh.
It doesn't surprise me because the printer companies are all like that. You know, they have been historically. But when you're looking at Xerox, there's VersaLinks and there's AltaLinks. AltaLinks are going to be the I'm a Xerox dealer. Like not me dealing in Xerox, but I'm like a Xerox, you know, they're going to push AltaLink. The VersaLink go big though. Like you can get a real big A3. And again, A3, I don't know in US dollars off the top. Well, actually, I think I do. So in US dollars and A3, Jason, if you can help me on this, I think they're going to be around 3,500 probably to start. Does that sound about right for an A3?
Something like that.
Okay. They're about 5,000 Canadian. And a lot of small businesses freak out because they're like, but the Brother Inkjet one is $200. And
exactly.
And there's a big gap. Like it's just how it is. So for home use, I shouldn't say for home use, for office use, I have a C405, which is a A4. Can't do 11 by 17, but I can do legal letter. It's got a very nice interface. You know, the email to the scanned email and all that stuff. It all works as you would expect. It's all very nice. The quality of the prints are not bad. When you look at the C405, the C505, and the C605, those are the three main multifunction units. There is a significant quality difference between the 405 and the 505. When you go to the 605, it is better, but, you know, some people are picky, and then some people are picky. the picky people might not see the difference between the 5 and the 6, but the picky people will. We have a realtor that we did, we ripped out all their Lexmarks that we had put in. We had put in CX 510s years ago, and they had over 100,000 pages on each of them. I think they had 3. And we put in the Xerox C505s, and they are ecstatic. They love these things. They said it, like, they loved the Lexmark. They loved those. But then they were like, oh, we didn't think it could get any better. This is amazing. Mm. And prior to the Lexmark, they had Konica and Ulta. Now, if you want, I can get into some more of the minutia, but.
Well, I'll just say the two that I was looking at, the WorkCenter 6515 DNI and the VersaLink C405.
Yeah. So skip the WorkCenter. The problem with the WorkCenter, it's not a problem. The OS, the software on the VersaLinks is just, it's like the next level. So I tell all my business clients for the office that the C405, so C is color, right? The B405 is black and white. The 4 is the series, and the 5 means it's multifunction. If it was a 0, it would be print only. Okay. Just if that helps. So the C405, yeah, all the way. Don't touch the work centers. The B205s and 215s last year, there was something going on. I don't know. You guys might have heard about a little thing. We sold a ton of them to people who needed to work from home all of a sudden for some random reason. And just crazy. And they love them. The only difference between the 205 and the 215 is the screen. 215, more money, but it's got a nice little
colored digital screen there.
You know, like the nice touch screen, where the 205 is a little bit more of a basic.
Okay. All right. Because I wanted to ask you about that. And Jason, I can't remember. Did you and I talk? Did you switch to Xerox because of their concierge program, or was that somebody else?
Not because of the concierge, but we are a Xerox partner as well. 6515 behind me here, so for home use. So, they're nice printers. I love them. The B series we usually use for most of the businesses, the CMB 404s. Man, I can't talk tonight. 405s, 505s, 605s. Those are the ones we usually use for business. So, we're not big enough partner to sell the big copy machines, but, you have to gain a lot of traction to be able to sell those. So we just dabble in, kind of those series right there, some black and whites, some colors, desktop units. The larger, all the ones. So.
All right. So what I'm getting at is, so I do need to sign up as a Xerox partner.
By the way, I sell Xerox too.
I will say if you guys are interested in selling A3 units, which are the one where they're going to have feet on the floor probably, and that's really, you can get authorized fairly easily in the first year. If you can move at least 1 or 2 units a year, you should be able to keep your authorization. If you sell 0, you will not. We are also a ASP, authorized service provider. It's a touchy one. It's a real touchy one because being a service, so we're a Lenovo warranty depot and we're a warranty, whatever, ASP, and we're a Xerox one. And if I was just trying to make a business out of it, like if I was saying, this is what we do, it'd be horrible, horrible. I would never do that. However, if you're trying to sell against me and I tell the client or the prospect that we come in, we do on-site service for all the computers we sell, the servers we sell, and also for the copiers we sell. It's tough to compete with that. It really is.
Yeah. Otherwise, Xerox will come on site and do the work if you don't want to be an ASP. So
they send independent, which is not bad. We had problems in the past though where they sent not Xerox, but we had a problem with other vendors sending a competitor. And while they weren't unprofessional. It was like we took the business from said company, and then when the customer called support, said company came out, and that's not good optics. I don't care who you are or how you operate. That's not good.
But
the reason why I was alluding to the fact that you might not want to get into it is it's not super profitable. There's a lot of bureaucracy, and you have to pay an annual fee.
Oh really?
But, yeah, it's like I don't know what that is. It's under $1,000, but it's not $50.
All right, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no, but, we basically made a deal with a local, they're actually a Canon dealer, but if they need a full-size copier and stuff like that, like some of our clients, we kind of reciprocate business. So they send me, I don't know, 15, 20 referrals to customers a month that need IT services, and we send them you know, I mean, we literally were in my conference room the other day, sat down, they pulled up their, you know, their CRM. I pulled up my CRM. We're going back and forth on who should I call? And I mean, so if you get really good in with a copier company and have that kind of relationship, I mean, I could care less if I sell a printer. You know what I'm saying?
The big problem we've had, and I don't know if it's unique to our area, is that's how I grew the business originally. I made friends with telecom companies, with copier companies. However, Quantica Minolta bought one of the biggest MSPs around here, 100-seat firm. Telecom companies are hiring network engineers because they're realizing that, you know, you can't install these on-prem systems and walk away forever. So now they're trying to do VoIP, and when they do VoIP, they need networking. And we were partnering originally, but now they're like, well, we're just going to hire. So I've become a little bit jaded, and now we're an ASP and do our own
copier. Well, I used to team up with another copier company that did Rico, and they were just copier only. Then they started like, oh, let's do IT services. And then it was butting heads, and it's like, hey, I get no more referrals from you, but you still want my referrals from me. And it's like, no, this ain't how this works. So I ended up running this guy from Canon and started selling his stuff. But we kind of had a similar situation like you're talking about being bought out there. Our largest competitor was a, you know, independent, you know, 30 tech company here, and maybe more than that. But they ended up getting bought out by Sharp, which is also a copier company. Yep. And so Sharp is trying to buy up a lot of IT companies across the country to make their own MSP. So now you're competing against, you know, the big names out there, a copier company, Sharp. And of course, now they're pushing VoIP, they're pushing copiers, they're pushing, you know, meeting room, you know, smart board, Zoom style room type stuff and all that. And, you know, this company used to sell Rico, and now they're selling Sharp, you know, because they got bought out by Sharp, of course. But you know, they're our biggest competitor in the area. And, you know, it's just, there's no way I would want to even, you know, deal. It's like, hey, I'm not buying anything Sharp now. So, you know what I'm saying? So,
I didn't wake up and hit my head one day and, you know, start thinking we should do everything in house. I mean, like that's, you know, that's counterintuitive too, but to an extent, you know, where we control the, everyone wants to control the relationship. That's how everybody is. Right. And, you know, and that's just how it's gotta be.
Yeah.
So, folks, I got to jump off.
All right, Stan, thanks for popping on and gracing us with your presence.
No, thank you. And I'm glad that Uncle Marv had three people that can come to his rescue. He had nobody but look at him now. You know? I'm leaving you in good hands with Jason and Chad, all right?
Sounds good, man. Be right, well. Take care, be sure to dry off and stay safe. You know, don't slip on the way out of that jacuzzi.
Will do. Bye.
See you, Stan.
All right. So you guys brought up an interesting point, because I've got a customer that – they're big enough that they used to have in-house support. But when COVID came, the tech had just left to go take another job. So they didn't hire in-house because everybody went home. Mm-hmm. But as they started to get stuff, you know, working again and people going back into the office, the administrator didn't want to hire a tech again. And he asked me, he goes, well, what we really need is desktop support during the day, because that's what that person did, and after-hour support. And I said, sure. Here's what it's going to cost. And it was so much more per month. And he's like, ugh. So what he did was, the copier company that they used, all of a sudden, could provide help desk services. And I found out that they partnered with another MSP and another company that, like, there's like four companies that operate under one umbrella and are doing all of these things. So it seems like this is a trend where companies are banding together and doing IT and copy and all of that stuff. So it's frustrating.
It is. Well, the biggest problem I have is it's not that, you know, because I mean, that's what we were doing before. We were referring back and forth. We were coming in with a telco. That's nothing new. The problem I have is when it's not being done well. And I mean, I don't want to drive this in a totally different direction with security, but I was on I actually had to sign an NDA to get on this webinar. We deal with CMMC clients, which was the NIST 800 and stuff. My client wanted me on this webinar with one of their vendors. And I have never seen a vendor dress down people like this when it comes to cybersecurity in my life. They basically said, we are currently reviewing our supplier list. and we will be pruning and saying goodbye to those that do not meet our standards for cybersecurity. And our standards are not just, you know, what the government says is here. We're going to be here because we believe that that's the direction we're going. So we don't want to be here and then caught with our pants down and then, you know, try to get here. We're going to be here. And then when they're catching up, we'll go further. And they made no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They just, you know, they gave some suggestions on how you could minimize impact and, you know, in a more cost-effective way. Like one of the things they said was, instead of trying to make your entire operation compliant, you could designate even one machine that's on its own network, totally isolated, and that machine is the compliant machine, if you can. Now, my client, they like to really take a lot of pride in their business, and so they've insisted that everything is compliant. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of work. So they're level three. There's no one's audited except prime contractors, which are the big direct ones. But that's where they need to be, and that's the target. So anyway, the reason why I bring that up though is because there is no way any of those hackneyed places you're talking about would be able to hit these targets. It's just not possible. These objectives are real. This isn't put AV on the computer and, you know, I'll make sure it's no, this has to do with like logging. This has to do with process, or process, depending on which side of the border we're on. It has to do with, you know, coming in and not just seeing that yesterday you wrote up a binder and said, look, this is how we do things. It's actually demonstrating that you have logged history and this is how we've done things. That's not something that, you know, Marvin, was it you that told me the story about the firewall that the doctor bought and put on the shelf? Somebody told me this great story where there was a HIPAA thing and it said you must own a firewall.
Oh, that wasn't me.
It wasn't you. So they bought a Sonic wall and they put it on the shelf and they said, we own a firewall. We own a UTM. It's right there. There it is. We're going to continue using the ISP modem because that's simpler, but that's our firewall. It's over there. And that logic just doesn't fly. And yeah, like I said, and this wasn't, oh, here's how we can skirt around it. No. These guys were just like, we're coming for you and we have no problem culling you. So it was very interesting.
That's crazy. Yeah.
All right. Hang on, folks. I'm actually reading a text about the show. Let me see if it's relevant and if it's something that I can say on air. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Okay. So I won't say the name. So what Stan said about the VoIP company wanting to put on a firewall is bad here. We have a guy who does that all the time. He even takes out UTM firewall for PepWave thinking it's okay. I haven't heard the name PepWave in years.
PepWave, isn't PepLink, isn't that a popular
PepLink
one?
Yeah, I was trying to say it's PepLink.
PepLink?
Right? PepLink? PepLink. That's like an SD-WAN company. But this is the thing, you know, they come in and I didn't hear that part of the show, but I was talking to Stan the other day. While that was going down, and that was amusing. And by the way, is this shirt readable? Because this, yes. I had these shirts made for Stan, and he hit a milestone there. And I promised him that I would not only, I mean, I don't know how normal this year is going to be, but if I'm doing any presentations at Data Road Shows or anything, be looking out for this shirt. It'll be underneath my sport jacket.
Is that a bet you lost?
It's not a bet I lost. It was more of a challenge I issued, and the man came through. Oh. I told him if he could hit $1 million in revenue as a one-man operation, that I would have shirts made up saying as much, and I would then again wear them, not just, you know, in my backyard. I would wear them when I was presenting, and but this is, I think, the second or third time I've had it on a recorded show, so I'm keeping my end of the deal.
All right, so you issued a challenge, and he responded. How many of those shirts did you make, by the way?
I think I made 10. I sent 7 to Stan, and then I kept 3 of them. I wanted to make sure they look new when I'm presenting. So wow. They're screen printed. They are actually these were. I didn't go down to Wally Mart and buy like some iron-ons. These are. I had this done up on it by a screen printer and printed off, and they're on file. But yeah, no, I sent him down. He got them just over the Christmas holidays, and I've had limited options here. But I thought it was. When we talked about it at the beginning of last year, it seemed like a, not an unobtainable goal, but a very lofty goal. And I said, you know what, Stan, I said, you know, you're really sort of a milestone for one-man operations to look and say, hey, you know what, Maybe I don't need to add, you know, a pile of employees and lose all my hair like Chad. Maybe I can, you know, I can actually do this and I can drive some big numbers. And, like I said, he responded and he blew it away. So, that is that. And I just think it's worth mentioning. I know he's gone now. So
I was going to say, you wait until he leaves to say it.
I just, you know what though? Like he's a pretty humble guy. I mean, he's just, and I just, like I said, I think that deserves some recognition because that is not, I mean, you know, Marvin, you can attest to that. That is not a insignificant. And he didn't do it by selling $900,000 in laptop at 1% margin to a federal government, you know, bid. Like he actually did it through hard work and, you know, the course of the year. So, and, you know, and that's the thing. This isn't to say that, you know, if you're at 250 or you're at 300 or you're at five, that you didn't do great. This is just to say that look what's possible. You know, look what you can hit.
I want to get to the point where I can be like Jason Miller and Matt Rainey. I mean, Jason Miller's building a mansion. I saw there on the Facebook there.
Yeah, building their house. It's nice. It's not a mansion. I mean, you know, Tennessee houses are a lot better priced. So.
Houses? No, you got Marvin. Was that? Did you intentionally just antagonize me? You know that my house is literally going to be the death of me.
I don't think you're going to finish that house. That's how.
Anyone that's ever bought a house in a survey, you know, like a new survey, oh, we picked out the colors of the cabinets and we picked out the floor. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a call and been like, yeah, we have a little problem. That's pretty much every day for me. Yeah, the stone was supposed to take 2 to 3 weeks, but due to the temperature, it's going to take 7 and that's going to cost a lot more. We have to torch every single block of stone. The house is all, it's natural Aramosa lime. It's limestone. It's all natural limestone. And you can't lay it when it's cold. Remember we talked about that at the beginning,
but
we waited till the ground froze because they couldn't go in the mud to get the scaffolding set up. So we waited till it froze and now it's cold. The other day I got called and they said, what do you want to do about hinge caps? And I said, hinge caps? Going to have to follow that one up with an email. So I get my email with my pictures of hinge caps, which I never knew were a thing. I mean, I guess I'm a peasant over here. I thought that hinges all just had like flat tops on them in new house. Oh no. Pagodas and urns and steeples. And then there was flat ones and these ugly little bald ones. Sorry to anybody who has those. And they told me they're all within my allowance. So I said, oh, I'm overpaying. Well, then I'm going to pick the fancy ones because picking the flat ones means that I'm just giving you more money. So we picked the big pagoda ones in oil rubbed bronze. The interior doors all have four hinges. So I'm going to have a lot of these things. So I figured, you're right, Marvin. It may never get finished. In fact, part of that conversation about the stone, they said we could delay it by 2.5 months to extend. And
By then you'll be in the middle of a blizzard. So nothing will happen.
Oh, no, it's, I was supposed to move in February. We're aiming for mid-April right now. They were talking about extending it into the summer.
No,
you're right. It may never get finished.
And
never.
Jason, so your place, I mean, we don't have to get too specific, but that's a 3-story, you know, Goliath compared to my 1-story deal here. And it's on the side of a hill, right?
Yeah, the subdivision. It's Tennessee, man. It's hills everywhere. It's on a hill, really good view. Two main levels and of course a basement.
Of course,
it's a pretty nice house.
We can't do basements in Florida.
No, you can't do basements there, but basements here are awesome. You know, so we didn't actually need the basement. We kind of wanted it for storage, but, cause you're not allowed to have, I guess, storage unit or buildings and yard barns, wherever you want to call them from where you're at. So, storage buildings in your yard. So
you mean a shed,
you know, basement comes in handy. Yeah. Shed that too. Yeah. So whatever you want to call it. But, we call them yard barns, sheds, whatever. So, either way, you're not allowed to have them because of restrictions in the subdivision. So, you know, we're basically, the market's really good here. So we're able to sell our house, make really good money on it. We've been talking to a real estate agent. So it's basically going to pay for about half of our new house. And we got a killer deal on the, you know, building this house because the builders that built our house, basically you pay 6% down and they tell you what the price is up front. That price doesn't change. Doesn't matter if they run into rock and they have to blow up 5 million boulders. It doesn't matter if the price of wood goes up or down. It doesn't matter.
Subdivision people. You're killing me.
But you pay the 6% down. They build it no matter what. We did have a couple of delays because they delivered doors and windows, and somebody thought that they needed them, so they stole them. And so that put us about 6 weeks behind on finishing. And then that put the brick people behind because you can't do brick till you have windows. So that kind of delayed the progress about 6 weeks there on getting new doors and new windows. Because we had
five months on windows, and I'm still missing a slider. Yeah. My patio slider, they said it'll be in between now and forever, sometime in between there.
Now and forever. It's close enough. Yeah.
But you're in a subdivision though. So you're the guy I hate. You're like, oh, we'll do brown. We'll do.
No browns. you met my wife. It's all grays. You know, grays, teal, you know, white. We don't own anything brown.
So, ours is wood. Everything's wood. Yeah. Our windows are red oak on the inside, and they're vinyl on the outside, which is kind of slick. We did some timber framing, natural wood everywhere. I just love, it's not the style these days. I'm hoping to die in this house. Hopefully not for a while, but I'm hoping to, finish things out there. They can deal with my natural stained black walnut kitchen however they want. If some a-hole wants to paint it white down the road, hopefully that wasn't need to be beeped out there, Marvin. If they want to paint it white down the road, the baseboards, I've got really tall 8 3/4 inch maple. We actually cut trees down and then milled them into baseboards. I got 60 acres of forest. I made as much as I could. Baseboard trim. The doors I couldn't do. There was some stuff I couldn't do because the wood has to dry for a certain length of time. And the thicker it is, the longer it's got to dry. But anyway, when are you moving? Do you actually have a move-in date?
End of April is what they tell us now. But yeah, we like the subdivision because we have two kids. One's 11, one's 9. They get to play with their friends. It's a little safer, you know. And two, here there's a lot of land, so it's decently priced. And the housing market right now is booming. Houses here are selling in less than 24 hours when you put them on the market. So I don't expect we'll have an issue selling our house. There's hardly any inventory. And then two, we live in a city called Gray, and it's kind of a very sought after school district, public school. So everybody's trying to move here to go to the schools for their kids. But of course, no one's going to school right now. So
we're in a quarter acre lot in a subdivision right now. And that's where I'm heading to the hills. I got a 60, like I said, 60 or 40. We put the house 650 feet back from the road. So the driveway is nice and long. So anyone who likes to shovel, well, you don't shovel that. It's 12 feet wide and 650 feet long, and it has an appetite for stone. I didn't realize how quickly stone, you buy it, you put it down, and then it disappears. It goes away. And then what you do is you buy more and you put it down. And stone, like everything else, is apparently priced like gold used to be. So, there's some potholes that are going to be there for a little bit. Those trucks running it over, they just kill it. Just kill it.
Just concrete, L. You're good.
Oh, 650 by 12. I don't know what concrete is down there.
It's expensive.
Probably about 120,000 to concrete the drive. Roughly. That'd be nice. I guess
that's a couple of Datto sales for you. Come on.
We did build up some stuff though. Like I did 400 amp power to the house, and our well has a recovery. You're subdivision people, you know, well, but like our well has a, I drilled a well. And
we used to have a well.
Did you? Okay. Well, so our recovery rate's 15 gallons per minute. I even got the gallons for you guys, 15 gallons per minute. And so, which is really, really good. And it's not hard water at all. It's sulfur water. So I got a peroxide system. It comes in, hits the peroxide, goes through two or three filtration things, and then I got reverse osmosis going to the kitchen, to the two sinks in the kitchen. So I'm getting I think one time I'll probably fill the bathtub with the kitchen water just so I can be like, I bathe in like the sunny. nothing but the best over here.
now back to the tech side of the house, so building a new house, I ran 32 Cat 6A. Network drops throughout the house, on the ceiling have, drops already built into the ceiling. They're sheetrocking around the boxes and stuff. So we can access points, and looking forward to our local power board here, does fiber optic. So they started about a year and a half ago. So they're still deploying fiber optic all over our city. And luckily that neighborhood that we're moving into has gigabit internet service, $79 gig up, gig down. So can't wait for that.
That's a little better than I'm doing with that.
Yeah, but I was going to ask you about the tech. I was going to ask you, are you building dedicated server rooms in these places?
No. I did. Yeah, what are you doing, Jason? You got a full?
Well, we had a spare closet in on our main level, and it's, I don't know, probably 4 feet by, I don't know, probably 5 feet wide or something. So planning on putting like a 12U, maybe 15U wall mount rack. Already spec'd out Ubiquiti 48-port switch, Ubiquiti MVR. We're doing Ubiquiti cameras, the G4 domes, and probably bullets around the house. I've got 6 or 8 cameras we've already wired for. Going to have Ubiquiti access points throughout the house. And actually, the new Ubiquiti Pro router that's coming out, that's still in early access, probably get one of those when it pops out there. Maybe some, Wi-Fi 6, maybe 6E, maybe, who knows, access points if they get them out in time. If not, AC or something like that. But yeah, looking forward to the tech in the house, extra, less lag time for my kids to play games, I guess. I don't know. So.
We're going to use the utility room, and I'm just going to put a rack down there with network gear. If I put a server down there, it'll be, I'm going to do like the nooks. I'm going to do like a scale nook cluster or something like that. But what I've got right now is I went all Meraki for the house, actually. Marvin, you'd be surprised to hear that. I have two in the garage and a big one on the ceiling in the nook area off the kitchen. I did MR46s, which are the 36. They're the Wi-Fi 6 Meraki ones. And then I did the H30s, they're the one where it's a wall mount.
The small puck ones.
And it's got four Ethernet gig ports on the bottom.
Yeah.
And one of them's a PoE passer. So I was originally going to run a pile of Ethernet everywhere. And instead, I ran one Ethernet, one Cat6A, to behind all the TVs, to all the spots where I would want desks or anything. And then we're going to put these where needed. And then, what I've been seeing with Wi-Fi is instead of trying to blast a big signal across, the whole thing, and then having devices like phones and stuff not be able to reach back, we're basically just going to turn down the power and get like a nice overlap and have more room-based Wi-Fi. So the great room will have one behind the TV. If you're in the great room, you're probably going to be on that. And I did I already ordered this stuff. I got an MS-125 24P Meraki switch. And then, like I said, I did an MX-67C, which is the cellular Meraki. You pop a SIM card in it. And I did the Meraki instead of the Fortinet stuff at home just because I didn't want to think about it. It's just the Fortinet stuff requires actual tech brain to set up, configure, maintain. Even when you're updating like, firmware and stuff, you've got to be making sure that all the versions are interoperable because they have problems if you're on this with that. The Meraki stuff's just kind of idiot proof. So when I'm at home, I don't want to think about it. So that's how it is. And for the internet, I got very lucky and unlucky at the same time. We were going to have a tower put up and a WISP that a friend of mine owns was going to provide the internet. And I was hoping to do a bounce. So he'd put up all his APs on my tower. I'd provide the tower. I'd have free internet. That was my plan. He then sold the WISP and, that ruined my plan. So then I basically, started calling in some, contacts, and where I ended up was one of the companies locally to me got a grant or a very cheap loan. I don't know whether it was a grant or a loan, whatever. The mandate is that they have to roll out internet connectivity to the entire county by in 5 years, and 50 by 10 is the minimum. So they're running fiber everywhere, not necessarily to the door, because I'm in a very rural area, but they're running it to towers and fields. And it just so happens that my street, which is a concession, they have a fiber line going down. So when they run it, which I'm waiting, now this is the only problem, they were supposed to have it in next month, and that's not happening. Once it's in, I have 650 feet of PEX I ran from the road out into my utility room, and they're going to run fiber for. It'll be 100 meg service, but it'll be 100 by 100 with an SLA for whatever that's worth. It'll be an enterprise circuit, not a home small business circuit. But yeah, so I'll take my in the forest with my fiber and my generator. If the zombies come, I just close the gate. We're good. We're
good. Yeah, there you go. Just need Starlink, and then you got the full backup for those.
I got the cellular until I got the Starlink. And now, note of the tech stuff, did you do blinds? Did you do low voltage for your blinds or anything like that? Any smart home stuff? Did you get into?
No, I mean, we, you know, in our current house, we have Google Homes everywhere. We have, you know, turn the lights off, turn this off, whatever, smart stuff, you know, Nest doorbells, you know, the Nest carbon monoxide smoke detectors that are smart. So we have a lot of smart home stuff, but I wasn't like keen on going full on home automation and craziness, you know, but I do want a really good network and not have to worry about it. So, and especially with a really good connection. And since I actually know the people at the, we actually are one of their preferred contractors. We do a lot of stuff for the local power board for the, you know, fiber stuff. So they'll sell the internet. We've done apartment complexes. We've done, you know, businesses that need Wi-Fi. They bring them the internet. We bring them the wireless or networking solution. And so we work hand in hand together. So I called up the guy and said, hey man, they're getting ready to sheetrock and you won't be able to get your fiber from outside my house to where this closet is. I need 100 feet of fiber. And I'll have the guy drop it off. Cool. So he dropped off 100 feet of fiber at my front porch. From a wiring guy, it's there. He's like, hey, go ahead and run that for me. So now we have, you know, fiber ran because they don't actually run Ethernet in your house. They actually run fiber all the way and put a little ONT device right where your router's at. So they run fiber through your house. So I have fiber from my house to outside where they put their little, they put a little box on the outside of your house to where they can unplug your inside fiber and test, you know, light and stuff like that, signal.
But, that ONT box that they put inside, like, is it like enterprise grade stuff or like what kind of equipment are you actually getting in there?
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, the box is like 4 inches by 4 inches. It's like a tiny little box, but it's the same box that they use in businesses and everything else. So, and then,
I pay like $5. Go ahead.
I was going to say for residential, you can't get a static, but you can, they use carrier grade NAT. So, you know, they have one public IP to you know, service a lot of people. But with, you could pay $5 extra a month and get a dynamic IP, but it pretty much never changes. So, so we're going to do that and not pay the big money because you can get gig by gig for $79. But if you want a gig by gig for a business with a static IP, same company, it's like $1,200 a month. It's crazy.
I was going to say, yeah, about $2,500 a month up here for that. The other problem is too, is that we have the on net, the off net, and there's some other like sort of kind of on net pricing. And when you're in the bush, you're not on net. It's a problem. No. But the one thing I always talk to you is, you know, like we've got around here, gig by 30 is what the cable company does in subdivisions. That's what I have in my house now, $79 a month for that. Problem is that, you know, you're rebooting the cable modem once in a while because that cable modem's worth, you know, 12 cents from like Alibaba or something. Not really, but you get what I'm saying. At our office where we have enterprise fiber, because out here again, 2800, those are the options. We have it's a Nokia box that they put in, which is does the conversion from the and you don't reboot that. Like you just don't. It just runs forever. If you didn't care about firmware updates, I could probably have my firewall run for 2 years of it rebooting. Of course, I would never do that because we care about security. But you get what I'm saying. Someone somewhere has a Cisco switch that has 900 days of uptime, and it would work on this network.
Yeah. Well, the cool part about the local power board is they're one of the six providers in the country that actually do 10 gigabit service. So if I want to pay $300 a month at my house, I can get 10 gig. But you can get a business too, but it's astronomical.
I mean, so I got to ask you. So no, this is great. So if you have experience with this, have you seen anybody else you dealt with this? Because I want to know. Like, I mean, for example, on a Fortinet to put in a firewall that has a 10 gig actual WAN interface. Is not insignificant.
No.
There's TP-Link doesn't make one, you know, like.
No. We did a local apartment complex. It was like 100 and some apartments, and I think it's 185 apartments, and it's student housing. You know, it's like four apartments inside one shared apartment, basically. They have four bedrooms. Anyways, we did that, and they brought in an 8 gig connection there, and they kind of split it up between the buildings, so we ended up, you know, 2 gigs this building, couple of gigs that building, 3 gigs here. So we kind of split it up, but it's one big 8 gig connection. They kind of handed it off, but that's kind of the biggest connection we've dealt with so far.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. And they wanted us to use these PFSense NetGate devices because they already bought them because they planned on doing this themselves and then went, oh fudge, we can't do this. And then, so they're like, well, these things are $1,200 a piece and we want you to use them. So I talked to my network guy. He's like, yeah, sure, we can do that. Got on. I was like, oh my gosh, it's the biggest mistake we ever made. I'm never doing this again. So some people are great, you know, PFSense guys out there, but you know, moving from SonicWall and, you know, to something like that, it's like,
well, it's a router. I mean, PFSense at the end of the day is a router. And I mean, yeah. You know, we used, I mean, I remember 20 years ago, I mean, we had IPCOP deployed at some places, you know, these nonprofits with recycled, you know, hardware. But no, you're right. And so for us, like security, Fortinet all the way. And then Meraki, Meraki doesn't stand up to Fortinet on the security stage, but Meraki, if it takes 10 hours to deploy a Fortinet network, it will take 1 hour to do a Meraki one. You just can't argue with that.
We do Meraki too. Very little of it. I mean, we're usually SonicWall Ubiquiti, but you know, we do have a couple of customers that have Meraki, but mainly we do Ubiquiti as far as access point switches. And
that's a wonderful like debate that I'm always in with people is a lot of people end up doing, you know, whether it's SonicWall or Fortinet or even Meraki. I have a friend that does Meraki on the firewalls, but then he was doing Ubiquiti and he switched to the Aruba Instant On. And which is kind of nice because it's cloud, there's no cost for it and all that sort of thing. But we really, really, really like our monotheistic networks. You know, if we're doing Fortinet, it's a FortiGate, a FortiSwitch, and FortiAPs. And we have some decent sized ones out there, you know, 20, 30 switches and, you know, upwards of 50 APs and spread across the campus and stuff. And all managed by the FortiGates and high availability. It does work well. It's just, like I said, you need real techs, not a guy knows some networking.
Well, that's the same thing as SonicWall. I mean, it's not your TP-Link router or ASUS or whatever, you know. And the pfSense, it wasn't that we can't do that. It's just it was annoying because you're used to making, you know, I want a /24 here and I want a /16 here. And, you know, you can't make it wants you to have them all the same on different VLANs. And it's kind of like, you know, it's just like little things like that annoy you. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It's just it's hard to have really good visibility into that. We're, you know, SonicWall, we have the cloud portal. We can see them, reboot them, update the firmware, all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, you can manage them a little bit from the cloud. And then, you know, the Ubiquiti stuff, we can manage all of it from our own hosted server, Hostify. So, I mean, it works out really well. So I manage all of our clients.
This is the big thing. Like when you go with a full monotheistic solution, though, with like a FortiGate, for example, one of the things that I really do enjoy is that you can go log into your FortiGate. You can go down to your FortiSwitch ports and you've got all your switches and your VLANs are just automatically propagated across everything. So if on switch 7, you want to change port 12 to be the, you know, such and such VLAN, like in our office, what we've done in the past is we've had site-to-site VPN set up for some of our customers that we deploy a lot of machines to, and they're off, always off. But then we'll turn port 22 on the bench into that network, and boom, there we go. We can join the domain, have it pull down all the stuff automatically, box it back up, turn the port off. And that's not the same as having just site-to-site VPNs to all your customers with different, you know, different IP ranges. But the speed of doing that, you just can't. And Meraki, I don't, you know, it's like I said, it is what it is. We're doing a fairground right now with 12 Meraki APs, a switch, and we're skipping the firewall. We're actually going to use the ISP router, which normally I would welcome some horrible comments on this normally. However, the ISP is a fiber ISP. It's gig by gig on the thing, and this is literally for vendors. There's one staff member. There's no network. It's basically vendors coming in and renting space, and they need to be able to give them time-bombed access. So what we're going to do is all the routing, so to speak, is going to be done on the APs, the switch just to keep, like I said, the stack. And the what we're going to do is we're going to have it using the Meraki authentication network. So essentially they'll log in, they'll go, okay, Mr. Vendor 1 at vendor.com, 4 hours, here it's on your email address, you know, click the thing. They log in. You can even say if they want one device or many devices, whatever. And then at the end of it, it's done. And the idea here is that they got the money for this from a grant, a nonprofit. They got it as a grant. They're not going to have operating expense money next year. So they can't be calling us in to update and manage the Fortinet, you know, network. So this is as much of a walk away as I can. Meraki has their updates automatically. According to Stan, and I will blame him 100% if this fails, the updates don't brick devices and they work great. So if that happens, I'll be calling Stan. He can get on a plane. No, just kidding. But I will.
Well, I'm going to have to apologize because I just got the text from the wife. You've been on too long. Time to go.
These guys talk too much. That's what it is.
Tom, you got a tough boss, really. It's
well, you know, you just rev chat up and let him go. It's like the Energizer Bunny.
Oh, you know, look at that. I come on, you give me a hard time. I see how it is. All right. I have a good time when we come on here, so I hope, yeah. I hope you do too.
But I thank you guys for being available and hanging out and not making, you know, inauguration jokes, Chad.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's you like it's the same thing with that work from home. I thought we were just your work from home's gotten popular. I don't know. Millennials have taken over, Gen Z. I don't know. I don't know what caused it. But yeah, just rolling with it.
Yeah.
Rolling with it.
All right. Yeah. So let me see here. Let's do the let's do this. Let's let us roll the banner. So this will be happening, well, not this in particular, but Podnuts Pro will be live every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. And normally we will not go this long, but tonight we did, and I let it go because it was good conversation, good tech. That's what this show is all about, everything to help you run your IT business better, smarter, and faster. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas, some good thoughts. I'll be honest, I did not take notes on everything we talked about it. So all this stuff is not going to be in the show notes. If you do have something that you heard us talk about and you want more information, just simply email marvin@podnuts.com, or you can head to podnutspro.com and send me a message either through the contact form, or you can click the little blue button at the bottom right and send me a voice message. I had two people do that in the last couple of weeks. Of course, Mr. Matt Rainey was just playing around and doing stuff, and somebody else sent a message that I answered, and that was all good. Also support the show by heading on over to Amazon and purchasing some stuff using the link there. On the Podnuts Pro site, you can click on the store, and that'll take you to Amazon. All the prices stay the same to you. A little bit of commission comes back to pay for all this airtime that we have here on the internet. All right, guys, that's going to do it. Any last words?
Thanks for having me, Marvin, and hope to be on again soon.
Well, I'll ask you. It'll be a couple of months, but I'll ask. Jason,
yeah.
Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Fun. Yeah,
and,
fun as always. Appreciate it.
That printer looks nice there. I may have to. Which one did you say that was? The 6515?
Yeah, that's a work center, 6515. Really right. Good home
Chad,
printer.
Chad said not to get that, so.
We standardized. Everybody's on the VersaLink.
Yeah. VersaLinks are definitely a better printer, but, you know, for the cost, I mean, work center is pretty decently priced. So.
Okay. All right, folks. So for more great information and more great content and entertainment, come back next week. And until next time, holla.